Welcome once again to Word on the Hills with me, Gwyn Cheltimer, and my co-host Felicity Signal Reed. Each week at this time, we visit with a local author or poet. We get an introduction to their work, a glimpse into their lives, perhaps ask them what prompts them to write. We also have an opportunity to hear them read from their work. And we're very pleased today to have as our guest Janet Richards. Welcome, Janet.
Thank you.
Janet is a journalist and a poet who lives in Belleville. She writes for the Belleville Intelligencer, as well as being the editor of that paper, and also writes for Community Press, which publishes editions all over eastern Ontario. Her poetry collection, Glass Skin, published by Hidden Brook Press, reflects her life experiences after moving from Toronto to the Quinte region. Glimpses of a new world from her special perspective and poems about home, children, and family document the everyday. Janet, tell us a little about being a journalist for a small town newspaper in our social media obsessed society. What sort of stories do you write, and what do you think most interests your readers?
I've had experience working both with very small weekly papers, starting out at the Community Press, which was based in Stirling at the time. And that has grown and changed as that paper was purchased by another company, eventually being owned by Sun Media, who also owns the Belleville Intelligencer, the Trentonian, and the County Weekly News. So I've had an opportunity to work for the weeklies and for the dailies. I've acted as an editor of the community papers, which would be the weeklies, and been doing some reporting for the daily paper, which they're somewhat different, but in communities of the size that we live in, there's similarities. I think I enjoy writing stories both about issues and about people. I really enjoy people features. I think everybody has a story to tell. Sometimes it's just a matter of getting them to open up and find what that is. I like people features, but I also like, if I'm tackling an issue, I like to localize them or put faces to them so that people can relate. For example, some of the things I've written about recently include women leaders in business, which was leading up to International Women's Day, and that allowed me to broach a subject and put faces to it, talking to some women leaders. And I also did an interesting couple of pieces on the Rotary at Work program, which encourages employment for disabled people. And I was able to speak to actually Steve Sharp from Campbellford, from Sharp's Food Market, has been a big advocate of that program. So being able to take a broader issue or subject and localize it for the readers. The social media question is a little trickier, and it's, I think even now in the smaller and more rural areas, there are more and more people who are connected through social media, and it's an interesting tool. It makes everything that much more immediate. So we tend to be structuring our reporting and our sharing of information in different ways, some of which may just be giving little hints to here's what we're doing, you know, and tweeting if things are happening live, or keeping connected through Facebook or whatever it may be, but then having that chance to give the longer story in our print edition and on our websites. It's certainly changed over the years that I've been in the industry, but it's an interesting change, and I think change is good. It keeps us on our toes and keeps us doing different things.
So. It's a delicate balance, isn't it?
Yes, it is. And it's sometimes difficult to balance between having to do so many things. It's almost like the multimedia involves multitasking. So you're looking at tweeting and taking notes, and there's a period of adjustment and finding ways to deal with those things best and make them work together. So.
Well, you do a fine job.
Thank you.
Now, you're a poet as well as a journalist. So how do these two aspects of your writing mesh together? Do you think the forms relate to one another, and if so, do they complement each other or fight each other?
I find it's a very interesting relationship between my poetry and my journalistic writing. As journalists, we're always objective. So everything we write is objective, unless we are writing editorials or opinion pieces. But generally, as a reporter, your job is to report facts or stories and let people form their own opinions. And you present as many views and that as possible in doing so. The poetry, I think, in a way for me is almost an outlet for, I wouldn't say I'm stifled in my writing as a journalist by any means, but it's a different way of playing with words perhaps and getting messages out there differently. And you know, you can broach a slightly different subject matter, but I find they do affect each other. I have poetry that I've written that has come directly from days when I've been working. I have poetry that I've written that has come from being frustrated with so long of facts and details and whatever it may be, that I need that creative outlet. And I think the journalism affects the poetry the way I've been trained to write as a journalist. I tend in my poetry to be very aware of word economy, which is something that you also do as you're writing as a reporter. They in some ways, they help each other. When I'm editing, that word economy that I've practiced in my poetry comes through, and I can see, if I'm looking at someone else's copy, I can see words that just don't need to be there. And it helps me, my editing at the newspaper helps me in self-editing my poetry as well. So
strange bedfellows, yes. But they work. Well, you're going to read some poems for us today, and I understand you have ones that actually are inspired by work.
Yes, I thought in this first section I would read some poetry that has either been the result of an assignment or just work in general. So, Behind the Byline. The affair with lexicon is fed by the adrenaline of deadlines, the search through steno scrawls for the quintessential quote, the art of diplomacy in news gathering long since nailed down, the mischievous lead, elusive at times, a catalyst. The cursor spits words, no room for rhetoric. Pictures composed of pixels travel first class in digital comfort, though the weight of prehistoric cameras is secretly lamented. There is quiet satisfaction to be found, front page above the fold. Weekend assignments. 1. Rachel is 5. I tell her she looks at least 7. She tells me her phone number, chatters and spins around my legs as we both wait for someone to bring in a fish for one of the boats on the hazy Lake Ontario horizon. Rachel scratches. I tell her the mosquitoes were biting me last night. Me too. I have 7, or maybe 15 or 16. The wait is rewarded with a 27-pound salmon that makes her eyes widen. 2. The church basement is warm, filled with the perfumes of every color blossoms, still proud after the judge has chosen favorites, but for a wilting lily. The Horticultural Society is so pleased I've come. A solitary purple dahlia blossom catches my eye, and I decline the offer of tea. 3. A local favorite sings covers in front of Old City Hall to old ladies in lawn chairs. Across from Fields, the Ecuadorian family from Ottawa displays its wares. I bought the beaded bracelet from them at Applefest last fall. A trio takes up wooden flutes, CDs on sale nearby. Children with painted faces and balloons eat hot dogs sold by a local club. Bargain hunters rifle through racks. 4. As I approach the cash register at the liquor store, a man in a hat fumbles a bottle of wine to the counter. The clerk asks if he's had a drink already today. He readily admits he has. I change lines as the clerk explains, "I don't think I'm going to serve you today." Down the block at the grocery store, I wait in the 8-10 item lane. The cashier opens coin rolls. Sandwiched between two women talking about how much their children enjoyed sailing camp, I count the 11 items the one behind me pulls from her cart. At the wine store by the exit, the man in the hat examines a bottle. So that was the result of a Saturday, I believe it was, of assignments for the newspaper and some of the things I observed. And this one's called Camera Shake with the subtitle The Shooter's Blues. Shutter, shutter, click. One Aboriginal activist released from jail. 2 house fires, no injuries. 3 mayors. Click, shutter, shutter. 4 architectural features, 5 headshots, 6 Scottish dancers. Shutter, shutter, click. 7 Wall of Fame inductees, 8 amusements at the exhibition, 9 child smiles, 10 accidents past plain clothes. Without camera, there was always the pretense. It never really happened. Oh. And the next one is maybe not so much about writing, but it's something that came to me after doing an assignment with the subject of the story that I was writing. Lessons learned in unlikely places. She learned not to judge through the cancer, and when she opened the pub. There were months her skin turned black and she smelled like death. Her hair has grown back in curls. She tells me whatever happens to the economy, people always drink, and appearances can be deceptive.
Wow, that's a strong poem.
Thank you.
Thanks very much.
You're welcome.
Janet. And I think now we'll take a short break.